Welcome to Acts, a gathering of believers in the Father's Vineyard, where we grow in love, knowledge, and insight of the Almighty God. Join us for soul-edifying worship, heartfelt conversations, and enriching Bible studies. Let's walk together on this journey of faith and fellowship.
So, I was reading the story of Abraham when the Lord asked him to offer his son as a sacrifice. And I just wanted to, like, because I'm sure, you know, it's only a dead man, right, that can do that, right, that can offer, his promised child, you know, to God. So what is the pathway to dying to this world? Right, where we'll get to that level of the position of, you know, giving everything to the Lord and saying, Lord, you know, whatever it takes, I would worship you and, you know, offer sacrifice to you, anything you ask. So what exactly is the pathway to getting to that state? I know it's a journey, but I would just like to understand how one can get to that level of not holding anything back from the Lord.
Yeah, thank you so much for that question. What is the pathway of becoming truly dead to self? I think that's the fullness of the being in Christ, right? So now the floor is open. Is there someone that had any knowledge or any addition to that question, or from your little knowledge that you have so far, the pathway you think of, or even the starting point, right, that you think would begin someone in a journey to being dead to self? The floor is open. Barry, thank you so much for the question, though. What is the pathway of being dead to self? Victor, if you can start, I think we all understand what being dead to self is. James,
Yes, sir. I think my own knowledge about the pathway of being dead to self starts from our understanding of what our salvation exactly was, but what our salvation is exactly about, right? That'll be the starting point for me. So, what is our salvation about? Well, what were we saved from? Why were we saved, right? And when we became saved, was our life given back to us in the way we, how do I say now, can we lay claim to our lives now that we are born again? Can we say, oh, this life that I now live is my own? Do you get? I need to read from the scriptures, Galatians chapter 2.
I got my Bible. Yes, sir.
Galatians chapter 2. This is Paul speaking, right? And one moment, please, sir. Galatians chapter 2. Well, I mean, it's a long chapter, but not the long chapter, but I mean, I would have loved to start from the beginning of this old to see the story up until this point. But in verse 20, he says, okay, 19, for I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Verse 20 says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, for Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So it means that we are practically dead at the point of salvation when we are saved, you know, from sin. I think, was it in the last year at Believers Conference, Pastor Moyi shed some light on this also, you know, in some of his illustrations. But you will see across the Bible that at the point of salvation, there was an exchange, right? And there was death to that old self, that old man, that old nature of sin. But then you now ask, okay, if we are dead and the life we now live is in Christ Jesus, right? Why is it that we face temptations? Why is it that people still fall into temptations? You know, why is it that people rise and fall and all of that? This is now where mortifying our members, you know, like Paul will say, he says, I die daily. He says we should present our bodies like a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice, because only a living sacrifice will be acceptable to God, right? As a living sacrifice, living in the sense that we now live unto Christ, right? We, our members are yielded unto Christ. We continually, consciously do that. So, I mean, the first point in this pathway for me is realizing, I mean, the details of what our salvation entail and going from there. And mortifying our members will now mean that, oh, you're studying the Word of God. You're constantly looking in the mirror of God's Word to become more and more like Christ. For we are beholding as in a glass, right? We are changed as we keep on looking and looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And also, like Paul said, we have to die. Death is a daily thing. It says, I die daily. So it's not, oh, I'm dead now. Yes, we are, our nature, like our life now is that of Christ. We're in Christ Jesus. But then there's also a need to renew our mind. There's a need to constantly put the body under the flesh now, because there's a constant warfare, I guess, between the flesh and the spirit. I hope I've not said too many things without saying anything, but this is what I would, this is my point, so that any other person can talk also.
I would just give a summary. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. The things he mentioned there are powerful. One thing he mentioned was, one, the knowledge of what exactly your salvation experience was, right? You have been given in, and mentioned that text in Galatians that point out that the light that you live is no more the life that you have. It's now the life of Christ, right? The substitutional sacrifice that happened there, they're not living the life of Christ. So you don't have ownership of that life. That's the first thing, acknowledging that actual part of it. I think we don't say that enough during when we call people to the altar. I think it's something they should actually properly understand from that point when they call people to the altar. Maybe it might scare a lot of people away, but yeah, it's very powerful knowledge. In Kendall.
Praise God. I want to frame Victor's question, then I'll start answering it so that I'm sure I'm getting it right and even contextualizing it right. How do you reach a point where you are willing to offer your most prized thing in a bid to fellowship deeper with God, or in a bid to be sold out for God? Yeah?
Yeah. Like, okay. Yeah, exactly.
All right. I know we all reach this path in different ways, because the truth is it's our faith is a walk. And I'm speaking from scripture and experience. And I'll tell you the only answer that comes to my head, because we're all spirits and it's a translational thing. The only answer that comes to my head is when you know God. When you know God in an ever-increasing dimension. Because it's not like I said, it's a walk of it. So you're walking, let's approximate that. Zero is you know nothing. 10 is you finally know everything, which is not possible, but we're just trying to get to 10. Then 7 is the point you reach that Victor is talking about. So you're on step 1. You see that God loves you, he dies for you. Fine. Step 3, you're understanding that there's a lot to gain in the kingdom. Beautiful. So now you're seeing your standpoint as God's on earth. Step six, you're beginning to feel pain. Like, why do I have to lose to gain? But you're like, okay, at least I'm compensated. Step seven, you leave that compensation mindset and you're like, you don't mind losing it all because you've gained something. And that something is the knowledge of God, and you're willing to give it all. The more you know God, the more you know that nothing else compares. Nothing else compares. Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son. He was not even killing himself. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were ready to die. If you look at the life of the apostles, you will see that, especially Apostle Paul, you will see that he was ready to die. Like, it meant nothing to him. All he wanted to do was do the will of the one he knew. And this is somewhat like falling in love with God. Falling in love, you can even use relationships with people. There's a way you will know someone, and to know is to love. There's a way you will know someone, and you will love them, that you will obey them till the last drop of your blood. Getting to that point with God is knowing him. And if I go deeper into the knowledge, you see, the truth is, the answer to your question is just outlined in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, 19. Accounting that God was able to raise him up. That is knowledge of God. If you know that God can do, and he now sends you, why are you now fidgeting? You will be ready to give it all. And Abraham knew that. He knew that from his walk with God. They were friends. He knew that if God could quicken his wife's dead womb to give him a son, that he could raise him up. The truth is, it doesn't exclude the fact that there will still be pain. You can still win in pain. He was still going to feel the pain if Isaac died, maybe even for the 5 minutes before he was raised up, or even the pain that it even took his mental health to even take him up that mountain, because the pain started as soon as the instruction came in. It's not necessarily when the knife is to the guy's throat. So walking through that whole process is based on the knowledge you have of God. It's written excellently in Daniel, and they that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. I tell you the truth. The more you know of God, there's nothing you won't drop. And I could come from the aspect of knowing how powerful he is. That's one. But knowing that he is love, I think he's the one that conquers it all. The more you know him, then as you now learn to, you now be asking him, no, please, what can I do for you? Then he sends you with the mission. And I tell you the truth, no devil can stop you, including yourself. You will be willing. That's why people who, when you read of people who serve God, they sound crazy. They're crazily in love. They've seen something that beats their human understanding and transcends their very spirit. That's why they are willing to give it all. And when you read Hebrews 11:6, Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. So you can't even go that far if you lack the faith. And the faith is, you know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Having this word of God is like knowing him, knowing his ways, knowing his acts. And that's how it comes. That is why when instructions come to believers, say in a church, to do something, it's not necessarily those people who are, in quotes, have the capacity to do it that do it. It's those who love, those who know the person acting. Even when it comes to your friends and someone asks, please, can you lend me 2 M? You know the ones you give, you know the ones you won't respond to the message. You know those who are capable of thanking you with 10 M. And you know those who are like, you might never, they might change number. So it comes from the knowledge of God. So the more you walk with him to know him, the more you will see that you've been complaining over nothing. And that's how he builds his disciples, and he gives us little tests to see, okay, have you known me to the extent that bread is not the problem? Have you known me to the extent that I'm not interested in what your hands do, but what your heart, where your heart is? When you know, that's when you will now begin to behave and readjust yourself and be like, indeed, men do not matter. So the more of God you know, the more things you are willing to do, and you are not looking back. And one extra reason why you won't look back is, when you fall in love with God, you get tired of it. The only reason you'll be here, you'll be like, just because you sent me. It's just because you sent me. So it's more like, remember a 0 to 10 scale. It's more like you've now reached that 7. When you were at 6, you were still in a way of, okay, I lose, but God compensates. So you used to look forward, look back, look forward, look back. But by the time you reach max 7 and you're looking forward, it's almost like it's only God you want to see. It's only more of him you want. And anything that feels like weight, you will drop it immediately. Just so that you can reach 10 and beyond. The end.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Nkemdeo. Thank you so, so much. A whole lot to unpack. I'll have to reach out to you later for that 1 to 10 scale documentation, but it gives us so much clarity and so much visualization of what the journey looks like. Victor, was that helpful? Does anyone have any other contribution to that? The question is, how do one get from where they are to a point where they are truly dead to self, truly, truly dead to self? That means you're ready to go and give, you're ready to be spent in any way that the Father pleases. That's a question we are analyzing this evening. Right. Zode?
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you so much, Kemdeo. Thank you so much, James. I wasn't here from the beginning, but I just one thing to add. As Kemdeo mentioned, it's a walk of faith. And as you walk, you take steps. So if Abraham had not left where he had to leave to move to where he had to move to, he would not have grown in his faith. So just sometimes some little things, some tiny acts of obedience that we take are the things that propel us in this walk of faith. That's all. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Step by step, day by day, your faith grows, your understanding grows, your love grows. The knowing is to love him, and the more you know, you grow in that faith. The more you grow in that faith, the more you love him. Once so that transaction happens there. Thank you so much, Zode. Thank you so much, Zode. Any other person? Any other person? I'll just add one more thing. Is to ask for grace, because the more I tend to look at even pastors of this day that kind of alludes to this state of being completely sold out, and wondering that if myself I'm in that position. Honestly, even the one I have sometimes is the whole struggle to part with, and people are of this state, and you understand that there's help required. There's help required to get from here to a place where material things or even your life don't hold you or hold you so much. Anyway, yeah, so I'll add asking for grace. I can't remember the Bible verse exactly, but I know that Pastor mentioned that on Sunday about holiness being a function of also grace, being a function of attaining a holy state. I also push that to say grace is also a function of attaining this state of completely being sold out and being dead to self. Yeah. Any other person? Victor, was this helpful?
Yes, yes. Thank you so much, James and Kemdeo and Zode. Thanks so much. Yeah.
Okay. James, I saw your hand up for a second.
I just wanted to, everything has been said, and I wanted to add that at every stage of our walk with God, God would demand something from us. Mm. And if we do it, then we go to the next level. I mean, just put it that way, for lack of a better word. In the case of Abraham, first thing was, like Zode mentioned, was leave your father's house, go to a land I will show you, right? He kept on going. When he got to that land, you know, after a period of time, God called him again and said, Abraham, walk before me and be thou perfect, right? He didn't demand his son from him before he asked for perfection from him. Do you get? So he had demanded perfection from him. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And, you know, Abraham came up, so to speak, and then he demanded his son. So, like, this puts also, like, how do I put it? So the skill that Kemde mentioned, at every point of our Christian walk, it might be today that God is saying, you know what? At the time, I felt God was saying to me, delete Twitter. Leave that place. Do you get? I left. Do you get my point? But the day I decided to go back to Twitter and I saw some news, I knew the reason. I mean, it occurred to me. I mean, I was away for a very long time. I was like, let me go now, look at this. Let me find what is going on there. And the day I decided to go, I saw a lot of news, you know, that felt like, oh, they could weaken Christian faith, you know, news about pastors and all of those things. Like, you know what? This is my cue. So if at every point in time God is demanding something, it might not be Twitter for you, it might be something else, it might be money, it might be material possessions, like Kendi has mentioned, and you don't need God, the Spirit of God will not strive with you, you know, to come to that level, but then he will still keep nudging you because of his mercy. And it's only when you respond, you know, to all of those nudging and those demand that you get to the point where you are dead. You know, so I mean, I just felt to add that also to all of the beautiful contributions. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I have one question for you, James. I'll just piggyback up there. Zodi goes. Zodi?
Okay, yes. I think this question.
Sorry, Zodi, I can't really hear you. Hello? We lost Zode. I'm guessing she will just rejoin quickly. But while we wait, James, is it possible to know where you're in that season of being put examining or being in that exam season where God's asking something of you, transition from one thing to another? Is it possible to actually be in that season and acknowledge that, oh, okay, I know God, I'm about to change, in lack of a better word, levels, right? Is there a way to identify that?
Yes, there are ways to identify that. God is not an author of confusion, and he would not speak to you in unclear terms. So the way to know first is, how does God speak to you, right? I mean, yes, we'll say God speaks to me through the word, you know, some persons. For me, God speaks to me a lot by impressions. I might not be able to explain to you why I'm taking an action, so to speak, but I mean, I can tell you for sure that this is God telling me, James, move on to the next level. Like, this is what you should do next. And also, it's not something I'll just, I got an impression, I'm taking action. I'll also still pray about it, commit to God in prayers, right? But the first thing to know is, how does God speak to you? And how God speaks to you, you know how God speaks to you from communion with God, from daily communion with God. All of the persons that have contributed tonight have emphasized on that point of communion with God, love of God. If, for example, you have a child, or many of us that grew up in African homes, our parents at times do not have to even open their mouths to talk to us before we know what they are communicating. Do you get? So definitely would know if you are used to hearing God, and Eve, the Bible talks about the sons of Issachar who understood the times and the seasons, you know. So it is given unto us to know. God does not leave us in a confused state, because he's not out of confusion. So you would know, except you choose to ignore, but you would know. And if you are in doubt, you can also always pray to God, okay, I'm having this impression. At times it might not even come in the format that you expect. It might come as a very strong impression. Oh, you know, just take this step now. And you pray about it. Oh, God, this is what I'm feeling. This is how I'm feeling about this matter. What are you saying? You know, to press more and ask more questions. And you will give you clarity. It will definitely give you clarity. So this is my response to that.
Thank you. Thank you. Do you have something back? Yesterday, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks. Oh, sorry, I missed your question. I was actually saying that maybe you want to go first, because though mine was a bit linked to the topic, it's a different question.
Oh, okay. Mine was just basically James already asked or gave good response to it. Was if someone is in a season where they're about to change spiritual levels, I don't have a better way to describe that, but is it possible that they know that I'm in this season, or they know that this was asked of me for this purpose? So that's what I was asking about. So, yeah. So you can go on.
Okay. I'm actually a bit curious about your question, because when you say they're about to change spiritual levels, maybe offline I could share some insight on that. But I feel like every day is a season to change spiritual levels. Yes, there are times and periods, but I feel like every day is a season. Maybe I don't go into it because I'm still processing my thoughts. But that's just one thing that is at the top of my mind right now. Every day is a season to change spiritual levels, if it's spiritual levels specifically. But of course, I know that there are times where, if there's a calling on a person's life and there's a time when they're in the wilderness now, and then the time when they have to be on the mountain. Yes, I understand that. But the amount of time that we spend in the presence of the Lord also shifts us. I don't know if you get that. So like, if you devote your time, if a person says, this period, I want to devote my time to the presence of the Lord, your spiritual level will change. At the very core, the spiritual level will change. You devote yourself consistently. It doesn't have to be that, you know, you are approaching a certain gate, a certain spiritual gate. That period, just by the mere spending of time in the presence of the Lord, your spiritual level will change. Maybe level is different from season anyway. So, yeah, just to go back to your initial question. But yeah, thanks. That's my response. Speaking about things you have to give up, and I know James mentioned Twitter, very funny, because I think I can absolutely relate on that end. So the most recent thing for me, which is still a question anyway, is my colleagues and I, we plan to go see a movie, Harry Potter, and I used to be a big Harry Potter fan. And so I signed up, bought the ticket, we're supposed to go together. And then a couple of days before that, there was something I was watching, and I already felt in my spirit that you will not finish this thing you are watching. And I actually did not finish it. I mean, I saw it coming anyway. Maybe I don't even need to say spirit. It was obvious that I would have to abandon that film, that particular movie, which I did eventually, because, there were some elements that might even appear in certain other movies I might follow through with, but that particular one I knew I must not continue, except I want to get burnt, so I left it. Now, days after the Harry Potter day and all, and I was set to go, I wasn't too sure anyway whether it was bad, but then I saw some friends around, and one of them said, you are going to watch Harry Potter, you are contributing to the Kingdom of Darkness. And then at that point, you know, I had said something to the person. I had said something that, well, so far, my conscience had not pricked me at all. But it should be. I was totally open to to cutting it off. It's not like it was adding anything to me anyway. Maybe tonight will be the night I'll cut it off. Long story short, as I left and I was just taking a walk up, you know, I already felt that, nah, there's no need. So I didn't go again. But bigger question. Now, where do we draw the line, right? So because the question remains, Harry Potter, it's easy to say, witches and wizard, witches and wizard, and that's the familiar. When it comes to demonic elements, those are the familiar elements that we associate with the demonic. But fantasy movies have a lot of other elements. So, for example, Lord of the Rings. I watch Rings of Power, for example. There are no witches and wizards there. There are elves. But they also deal with the supernatural. They also deal with the magical, the fantasy. So where do we really draw the line? I don't know if this question is clear to anyone.
Are you saying, let me reiterate. Are you saying that where do we draw the line in terms of the world and our spiritual life? Or the world and with fantasy movies and fantasy...
Movie. Specific movies. This is a very personal question. Specifically movies. Yes, exactly. Especially fantasy.
Can we extend it to entertainment in general, like cartoons and all that stuff? Or you want to limit it to movies?
No. I'm sure you can, but please don't forget the movies part. Okay, so...
Yeah, okay, cool.
And add on top of it, right? So, like I said, for certain ones, it's easy to point out because there are some elements that are more commonly associated with the demonic. Yes, witches, wizard. And then when you talk about, you know, if you go to entertainment, you can talk about alphabet people and the rest, right? But I'm saying, where do we draw the line when it comes to, you know, those fantasy? But please feel free to, you know, expand the scope. Yeah.
Okay. Gabriel, sorry, I had it up. We have about 5 minutes left, so let's just hear from you.
All right, thank you. So, I'll just start from personally, I think she gave an answer to that question in passing. You know, when she was giving an example of a spirit already telling her, you know, before that event could happen, she already had a prick in her mind or in her heart. So it boils down to the initial question that was asked about knowing God, right? Or knowing when you can actually be totally sold out. If you are really having a walk with God, the Holy Spirit will direct you. He's so interested in everything we do, as much as even the clothes we wear. If you want to go out, you have a check on what to wear, for example. And so back to the movies where she was actually pointing. I think if you are truly walking with the Holy Spirit, He will tell you, Omo, this movie, it's not for you. And then move from it. And looking at scriptures, 1 Corinthians 6, right? I think verse 12 or thereabout said, all things are lawful, right? But not all things are expedient. So you have to also wait. What's your direction? Where are you going to? Do you think sitting down to watch Harry Potter, for example, and you know it's a series, will really help you spiritually? And so if you have that check, the Holy Spirit is there to actually mark the script for you, right? You would know. You should know, rather. You should know when the line is actually the Holy Spirit. That's all I'm trying to say. So if you have the Holy Spirit in you and you're truly walking with Him and you're in sync at that moment, you know, if you're about to do the wrong thing, I think He will reroute you. You know, He will give you a check. And if you will be obedient enough, you will reroute yourself back, you know, and then you put yourself on the feet like you experienced. However, what somebody can be able to take, another may not take. Because we all know that we are walking, right? But some people are at different kilometers. Let me put it that way. Someone may be 5 kilometers away. Another may be 2 kilometers away. So what someone may take, someone can watch horror movie and, you know, nothing. It's just a movie, and that's it. On a different level. Just like Paul would say, when he goes to a place and he's offered food, he will eat without asking questions, you know. But another person may not be able to do that. So I think it boils down to what I said earlier. The Holy Spirit is actually the line, you know. So if you're having a walk with Him, in your own personal walk with God, He will tell you, oh, this movie, this is enough, you know. This is the red line. You shouldn't cross here, you know. So that's what I think regarding that.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. The Holy Spirit being your director, cannot be overemphasized. And James?
I mean, beautiful contribution by Bro Gabriel. I also like to add, not on these matters of entertainment and all of that. One scripture that I found very helpful for me is in 2 Timothy chapter 2 from verse 4. I mean, before then, it was talking about us being God's soldier, right? Therefore, endure hardiness as a good soldier of Christ. But verse 4 specifically says, no man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life. That he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. We might come to this understanding differently, like Gabriel rightly mentioned. But then it is very important to know that we are soldiers of Christ, and you can't be on the battlefield. We should also recognize that our spirit man, they are portals, you know, like our sense of sight, our sense of hearing, all of these things are gateway into our spirit realm, right? And you might think, oh, there's no harm in watching this movie. It's just fantasy. It's just pure fiction. But then the people who are producing the movies are producing it for a reason. You get someone, for example, on my WhatsApp status posted something 2 days ago and talked about how in Yoruba movies, I mean, maybe Nollywood movies generally, how someone gets rich. Maybe he has been a poor man all his life, and some persons went to rob, and all of a sudden, police were chasing those people, and they threw money over the fence, and he was just lucky to be there at that point in time. You know, over time, there's something in psychology called social engineering, and whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, it is happening in real time through entertainment, and entertainment is like one of the most influential ways of social engineering. You get so. It's just very important. We all come to this understanding differently, but it's very important that we know that we are soldiers of Christ, and anything that would make us entangle ourselves with the affairs of this world, in the sense that we now lose sight of what exactly we are supposed to be doing, right? Don't quote me wrong. Entertainment is not bad, right? But then you should keep in mind that we are soldiers of Christ, and that any man that is warring, you can't be on the battlefront and be thinking of, Twitter, I need to be on this, I need to watch this. There are a lot of legitimate things we can, you know, make excuses for and make case for. But then at the end of the day, like Bogribe said, let the Holy Spirit be our guide. And let's also always remember that we are soldiers of Christ, and we cannot afford to entangle ourselves with the affairs of this world. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Vic. James and Gabriel, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Jody, would that help, Leto?
Yeah, very, very helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I think we're past time now, and I'll just want us to just say this prayer, and let's ask God for help. Ask God for help on this journey where we are on, this journey of knowing Him, this journey of living the life of faith, this journey of proclaiming His truth all around the world. There's so much that we don't know.
Thank you for joining us on X. We pray these moments have drawn you closer to the Father's heart. Stay connected, stay inspired, and let His love guide you always. Until next time, remain blessed.